Thank you, Ms. Blair. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn on to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Let me just, if you're turning or if you want to take a moment, if you did not get the children's names this morning that were given, and so you can pray for them as a church. Again, that was Leland Akabuchi. All right, his parents, Jerry and Taylor there. And Amari Streeter brought her son, Josiah Streeter. And as a church, we want to pray for him and their family as well. And then Lillian Bell Stevens II. Amen. I wanted to make sure I got it in there, okay, for you. And then we also kind of wanted to take the time to announce, if you guys want to stand, their engagement. All right, Carly and Brent are engaged, amen, to be married. Amen. Amen. And so I wanted them to be able to take part in that together. Thank you so much for being happy for them. And then I think they got the date settled, but we won't put it out until they make sure 100%, and then we'll get it out to everyone as a church there. And then the grandmother, Mrs. Stevens, amen, Miss Patricia there, thank you so much for being up there with us today. And then as a church, thank you. I'm thankful that we have a family, amen, here. And it's the Lord's church and got together. And again, these are our children. We don't think about it that way. This not... It's not like the world says it takes a village, okay? It's not that way at all, but God did give us a church, amen? And I can tell you, as I've had my parents raise me in the right and guided me in such a way that I could stay, and they nurtured me in the admonition of the Lord, but they put me around people in our local church that have had great influence in my life. I mean, great, great influence in my life. Sometimes things that mom and dad had said over and over and over again didn't really settle in until somebody that I respected, a man or a woman around the church, just kind of gave it to me again. And then I realized that not only were mom and dad giving me truth, but they reaffirmed that in my life. And what a help it was in my life to be able to help me to grow and to do what God wanted me. And really what we want for these young people is God's will for their life. We know it's the best life they could ever live, and that's what we want for them. In Matthew chapter number 5 today, I just want to remind you as a church that here the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you have a red letter Bible there, and he's going to be speaking. We often call this the Sermon on the Mount. And as he preaches and he speaks and says things here, I want you to be reminded that Jesus here is on the mount and he is speaking to Jews. All right. So I don't want you to miss the context, not only of the scripture, but of what was going on in context of what Jesus was preaching to them. Today, if you're in the tape room and you want to write down the title, it's Light Gives Light. All right. Light Gives Light. And we're going to pray, and we'll ask the Lord to be with us this morning and also out on Life Chain. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for your word and, Lord, how we can study and, Lord, how you can bless us through your word. Lord, I pray that you would, again, each one of these children, Lord, we gave them the Bible, and I know many of them that will be something that's a keepsake for them, but Lord, I pray that they would hide the word in their heart that they might not sin against thee. God, I pray today that you'd help us as we read about the light, as the light gives us light from your word. Lord, I pray that if there's one that is still in darkness today and does not know Christ the Savior, that he would be the light of the world to them and that he would save them because they put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, Jesus has just got done talking about being salt, a preservation agent. He's speaking to believers who have trusted in him, but don't forget that some of these people will turn back. There are true believers in Jesus Christ at this place, but they're Jews. You never forget that they have had the oracles of God for so long, and they've been awaiting a long-awaited Messiah who has come and considers and says that I am the light of the world. All right? And he's going to say here that he's going to convey that to them, that they've brought the light of the world. He is the light of the world, but he's going to say to them, ye are the light of the world. Now, a lot of times I've heard preachers preach this, and I just want to kind of lay a foundation before we get into it that, you know, that we are often reflections of that light. But friend, that light lives inside of me. And he's alive and well and cannot die, and that is the only reason that I'll live eternally. And I just want to tell you that a lot of times with young people, kind of trying to talk about a message about these young people, often for me, I wasn't, now I don't want you to get thinking about your pastor like I was one of them, you know, I was 13 years old or anything before, you know, I slept in the dark or anything like that, but it was important to me to have some light. I still today, I can sleep. If they don't turn the light off, when I lay down, if I'm ready to sleep, it's time to sleep, I can sleep. It don't matter if the light's on. It don't matter if the light's off. It don't matter what's going on anywhere around me. If I'm not careful, if I have a guest preacher and I get still, I got to have candy in my mouth because I will check out, friend. Because I got still enough and I'm tired and I will go to sleep. Don't laugh. Don't. Some of you are laughing because you go to sleep too. And it's not just on the guest preacher. Amen. Pastor Carter said, you know, got upset one day and said, hey, you wake him up. He said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. Right? I mean, we can laugh about that, but every one of us probably can go back to a time or with one of our children, we realize that it's important. When they're young, they want light. They want some form of light. They don't want to live in darkness. It's a natural tendency. I'm going to be honest with you. I can remember one of the things of my childhood. I can't remember Pastor Carter. Pastor Carter can go back to like age 2 or 3. Okay, I can't go way back. I can't go back to the womb. Okay, and remember everything that happened right there. But he can. I can't hold on to all those things. But I do remember having a battle with my parents over just having a little bit of light. They wanted me not to be scared of the dark. And folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. It really, I didn't get comfortable until there was light living inside of me to know that I had hope, because darkness was a contrary thing. I come from the eastern coast of this world, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not afraid of the water. I can swim like a fish. I was born, my mom's family were watermen. I mean, we spent every day on the water. And clammed, crabbed, I mean, if you call it fish, whatever it was, we were in the water doing it. So I'm not afraid. But at night, I have a serious respect for the water. And a lot of times, the only way, if you're not really, really fixed in your mind on what to know how, where you're at when you're in the water at night, the only way you're going to find your way home is light. To look for the night, the lights of the city or from the town or from the beach. And listen, I don't know about you, but for years, even while they had great instruments and way better than our folks are today with charting the stars, at some storms and at some night, the only thing that kept the ship afloat was the lighthouse on the beach, casting light deep into the sea to bring the ship safely home. And for us, we need to realize that every one of us desperately need light. And when we get saved, the Lord Jesus here, he is speaking to the Jew who for years had been a light to the rest of the world, had told them, if you follow God's will and his way, you can live a right kind of life. You can be blessed of God and have all these blessings. And so this morning, I just want to remind us as Christians that you're the light of the world. He's just gone about that we need to have salt. And we don't need to have this separatist mentality of everybody. We ought to be come out from the world and be separate, but we ought to live a separate way. We ought not do the things the world does. The Bible doesn't say not to ever go back out and tell the world about Jesus. It's telling us to live a separated life. That's what the Jews did. God didn't take them out of the world. They were in the world, but they separated. They came out of the world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a called out assembly, called to separate from the darkness and to gather the light. But again, just like a lighthouse, to produce light, to encourage others to come to the light. Here in verse number, as we said before, I want to read verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not he says one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, ye have heard that it was said in of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. I want you to see this morning some things that are important that the Lord Jesus tells us. One of the things that are clear, and he uses the word two times, is to fulfill. The Lord Jesus came to fulfill some things in this life. He came to fulfill his will and his Father's will. His Father's will was for him to come and to lay his life down and to rise again so that he might pay your sin debt and my sin debt upon Calvary. The Lord Jesus was not only someone who could just, as simply as we can put it this morning, he was not a man like you or I. He is God's only begotten Son. He was so different than you or I because he didn't have an earthly father. He had a perfect heavenly father. No sin was passed upon him. He was born of a virgin, and he was born clean, perfect, righteous. I don't know how many other adjectives I can add to it, but he wasn't like me and he wasn't like you. If you're a man in this building today, you got to realize that sin passed upon you because of Adam, your father. Now, if you're like me, my daddy was a sinner too, and he passed it on. It didn't just have to come through Adam. My daddy was a sinner. If you're a lady inside this building, sin passed upon all mankind and you as well. But the blessing is, and if we went through all the different science, you'd realize that the blood comes from the man side of the equation, and the blood that was passed on to the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't Adam's blood. It was the blood of God, perfect blood that could be shed for all sin. And what a blessing it is to realize that a nation got to share its light with all these other folks. And this morning, for us, I want you to see that Jesus fulfilled some things. There were some things that Jesus fulfilled. I want you to see in verse number 14 through 16, it says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, neither do we. I'd love to take time. I don't know about you. Put it in a basket, you know, the bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. I don't know. You know, little children sing a song. Sometimes it do us good. Maybe in sometimes it put back some of the children's songs into the auditorium so we could see the pictures of what God really wants for us. They're really good picture songs for us to be reminded that I'm a light. And I'm not going to be sheltered by the sins of this world. I'm not going to hide myself from others. I'm going to be honest with you. If we're not careful, we try to cloak ourselves and disguise ourselves like we're spies in the midst of this world. That we want to blend in with everybody else. We don't want anybody to know that we're Christians. And we are supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be different from the world. Doesn't mean that we're weird. It means in a dark world, we ought to be a light shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to know why people go like this when you walk by, it's because your light ought to be shining bright. And when a light shines in a dark place, everybody holds up. The Bible clearly teaches us that that evil men don't love the light. They flee from it. They love darkness, and they're going to be. It's one of my great things, again, to walk into a building. If I walk in somewhere and somebody don't turn the light on, I say, evil men love darkness. And I walk in there. I do that all the time to Brother Richard. If he's in there, they're working. Brother Ron gets that a lot because he's working on lights, and he unwires them, and there's no light in there. He's wiring a new light. I said, evil men love darkness. You're always in the dark, brother, every time I come around here. Amen. And he laughs. He goes, oh, come on, preacher, right? And give me a break. I'm trying to work around here. Amen. And so we talk and we laugh about that. But even for children realize they're born with an instinctive inside desire to have light, not to shut the lights off. If you're going to leave me with the light turned off, then leave me with a nightlight is what they think. Leave me with a flashlight. Leave me with light. And if we can just pick that up and understand, number one, that Jesus came to give all man light. He came to do that. And not only just give us light, but light that we can hold on to. See, the rest of the world and even cults don't believe that if you did get some light, you can't keep it. Now, be honest with me today. The problem is that we're more like the lamp that the light dwells in. And so it's not hard for us to understand if light comes into me, that light can stay and keep me lit, if I can say it that way. I can be a light unto others because of the light that's within me. See, we think that we got to keep it. When we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're not going to go there today, we realize that in the first four verses, it is clear that before the foundation of the world, God the Father in heaven, before he ever made a man that would sin, decided he chose to send his son to die to redeem all of mankind before he ever made him. Then after we made mankind and in the fullness of time, Jesus came to fulfill what God had promised in Genesis 3:15. And he came and by his own blood purchased man back into himself. The word in Ephesians chapter 1 is redeemed us by his own blood. And then in verses 13 and on, it describes what the Spirit of God, when light comes in, that the Spirit of God indwells the believer and gives us. His job is to give us more light. We receive light when we got saved, but his job is to guide us into all truth. And whether you believe it or not, when we talk about seeing the light, it's being able to discern the truth from what's error. It's being able to shed light on the truth and to be able to clearly see it. I've said this before. As I age, my eyes seem to dim, even though the light. So I need brighter and brighter light to be able to see and to read clearly that which I decide to, that I want to hold on to. And listen, light is powerful. Do you know that it's one thing you say, well, you need to get better glasses. No, I've decided to get better light. You say, well, you do. I told you I break my phone out, right? Man, right? When I've even ordered, I had my wife order me one of those things. So when I'm reading, I have a thing that clips right onto my book and just sheds light straight down. LED's been great. It don't burn the batteries up that quick. You say, preacher, why are you saying so much about light? Because it's important. It's important not only in the physical life, but it's important spiritually. For every one of us, as we begin to understand this, we see that not only the Lord gives us light, but I want you to see here that he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. The oracles of God that God had given to his people Israel that were supposed to be a light and to keep a certain way and the way he gave them to be different, God didn't come to tear that down. To be honest, he came to strengthen it. When he comes here, and one of the things that we're talking about, when he came and fulfilled the law and filled it full, think about what God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and filled everything, but not just what came in the Old Testament, but the things that the way he wanted us to practice it. He goes Old Testament to Exodus and Deuteronomy and says, he talks about we're not supposed to kill. Now today is Life Change Sunday. And one of the most important things that we can teach folks, and one of the reasons that dark world has not had the light of Jesus Christ shine unto them, many of them, do you know there's a huge group of people who call themselves Christian and don't believe in the sanctity of life. They don't believe the Ten Commandments. They think it's okay and that it's a woman's choice and it's her body. And how can you ever end up that place when you believe that you are God's? And that God has said that thou shalt not kill. He doesn't, listen, you say, well, what do you mean? I'm just saying, how in the world are we ever going to come to a place where it's clear to us that the world is in a dark state and that we are not the light that we should be when we realize that so many millions of babies are aborted on a yearly basis because our world lives in a dark place and they think it's okay to abort babies. But you say, preacher, it got better. I agree. Maybe the light's been shining a little brighter. It shined into some places that maybe in government and we've put Christian in places that maybe have put down and argued and even in the Supreme Court. Maybe they've got a little bit of light. Or there's more light on the court to be able to outweigh. Listen, there's still darkness there because they're only winning a lot of these decisions by one vote. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, you say, well, I don't like getting political. That's not political. Okay? Let me just remind you, this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so when you get it like that, that means I'm not being political. I'm being real right where you live. And so you say the Supreme Court, listen, they shouldn't make that decision. And that's exactly what they said. This is not a federal decision. This is a decision for each one of the states to be sovereign and make this decision for themselves. The sad fact is, as many, we were ridiculed and put down as state after state after state that would have throughout all of the time that it was legal in our country said, we don't want that here. Because they had to force it on us from a federal level to make us even take it to start with. But did it really surprise you that not all 50 states changed? Did you think there was light shining bright in every one of the 50 states? Listen, as we head towards November, we're heading towards missions conference. And if you don't think America's one of the greatest mission fields on planet Earth, you got another thing coming. We need light shining bright in every one of our 50 states. And I don't even know in many of those states if 50 lights are enough to shine the light of Jesus Christ bright enough across the state. So we, do you say, well, what about foreign missions? Yes, it's a dark world, not just one dark country. We must send the light of Jesus Christ around the world, but what about right here at home? What about in your home? What prevails in your own home, in your own life? Is light being shined brightly in your own home and in your own life? Is everybody, listen, let me go all the way back. Jesus came to fulfill all these different things and to put light in your life. What are you fulfilling? Are you fulfilling what you ought to be and be the light that you ought to be? We talked about passing out tracts in this harvest days. This is an opportunity. Today, Life Chain is a chance for us in the light to go out and shine a bright light of truth that abortion is murder. That's right. And that God's people, listen, we're not hateful. We love them. And we pray for them. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but from my life and from my heart to the people in the pew this morning, from what God has put upon my mind and heart, how much light are you shining, or is there a bushel? And let me ask you this. How many days do you pull the bushel off and shine the light? Is it Sunday? I shine the light of the world to everyone who will look and see. I dress, I look, I practice and preach what I believe on Sunday. What about Monday? Is that a bushel day? Well, you say, preacher, I come on Wednesday. Wednesday, is that a bushel day, or is that a I shine the light day? You say, well, how many days a week should a Christian be a Christian and shine the light? Every day. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I realized that I wasn't my own. I was bought with a price. And that Jesus didn't want me to have any bushel days anymore. Do you know, and sometimes you can reflect light. Can I be honest with you today? I got saved when I was 15 years old. I was in the church from 5 years old and on. And for a long time, I reflected other people's light. I was a junior church usher, and I ushered and took up the money, and I dressed right because it was required for me to do that, to wear my tie and to come to church and to do everything right. But there wasn't light inside of me. I was just a reflection of that light, of those around me and what was required of me. And one day I realized that this light that everybody else had that I was trying to put on the outside needed to be on the inside. And the only person that could give it to me was named Jesus. And while I wanted all the things that the church could offer of dress and ride and going to activities and different things, I wanted all those things the church had. But what I realized I was missing was the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. That the joy, I could try to put the joy on the outside, but it wasn't on the inside. I tried to dress it up with peace, and I didn't have any peace on the inside because I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you folks, from that day till this, they can turn the lights out in the room, but the light's still on the inside. The peace is still on the inside. This life, this life will soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. And I'm so glad there was a day that I realized I didn't want to just live in the light of other folks, but to have it for myself. And if you're in church today and you came in and you said, man, I love to go to church. I love to be here. I love God's people and I love to hear God's word preached. Let me ask you this. Are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus has saved you, that you have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you? If you are not sure of that, yes, I understand, because I was one of you one time. And I like to bask in the light of others and to be in God's house and around God's people. But one day it wasn't enough to be around God's people. I wanted to be one of God's people and to accept Him for myself. Today, the question is this: would you like to be saved? Well, would you like to have that light? If you are like that, you know it's simple. All you got to do is put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. Just simply, the Bible says, believe with your heart. It's kind of like opening a lantern and letting the light come in. It's just simply trusting Him, putting your faith and trust in Him, that He will save you and give you the light that you're asking for. Today, I pray that you will. If you're a Christian today, and maybe something in your life, maybe you've got a bushel that you cover your light with, why don't you take that off and give it to God? Leave your bushel right here on the front. It's harvest days. Those bushels that cover up the light that we use instead of if we turn them up and give them to God, He'll use it for His glory. He'll fill them up with blessings. Today, I don't know what God spoke to you about, but I pray you'll do it today. Let's, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as the musicians come this way, I'm going to pray, and then you step out and come. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. I thank You for the light of Your word, but I also thank You for the light of the world, to Jesus Christ. God, I pray today, if there's one that came in the building without You, God, I pray that they would come and receive the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive salvation and be born again today. Lord, I pray for the others maybe that are saved, but they've been a bushel Christian. I pray they'd come and give it to You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together to our feet. If God spoke to you, come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not
with me this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ, this invitation is for you. We're inviting you to step out and make your way to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, that heaven will be your home, and that you'll receive that light that was preached about this morning. We want you to do that. Would you step out and come as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O of God I come. I come just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We'll let you be seated this morning.